Hi, good morning. I'm going to be talking to you this morning about work-related traumatic injuries by industry, demographics, and lifestyle characteristics. Just to give you a little bit of background, we find that the use of trauma registry data may be very, very useful for the surveillance of work-related injuries. And that's because, in contrast to general inpatient hospitalization data, trauma registry data has a work-related indicator as one way to identify worker injuries. You can also identify worker injuries through the expected payer source of workers' compensation. You can look at work-related e-codes, and another advantage of trauma registry data is that it is also populated with industry, associated industry, and occupation. It's also useful for identifying possible risk factors that are associated with occupational injuries. You see that age is available, gender, ethnicity. You can also look at the presence of drugs or alcohol, and also look at other comorbid factors such as smoking and obesity. So the methods used for this present study was that we used trauma registry data from 2008 to 2012. In Kentucky, we have about 20 centers that are level 1 through level 4 contributing to our trauma registry there. Would like to say that as far as what's included in our database, if the work-related injury occurred in a neighboring state such as Ohio, but the patient was treated in a trauma center in Kentucky, then that case would be included in our data set. But on the other hand, if the work-related injury occurred in Kentucky and they were treated in an Ohio trauma center, then that case was not included in this data set. The work-related selection criteria that we used for the study was if the trauma registry work-related indicator was marked yes, they were included. Again, we looked at the primary expected payer of workers' compensation, and we also looked at an ICD-9 e-code algorithm that was published by Alamgir and colleagues in 2006. Not going to go through the whole thing, but you can see this is the algorithm that we used also to identify the worker injuries. For instance, for the first category right there, railway, if it had an E-code of 800 through 807.0, which would indicate a railway employee, that case was included. If you go down to like fire and flame, if it was E-code 890 through 899.1, indicating that it occurred on a farm, that case was included. If you go down to like machinery related and the code was 919.3, indicating an industrial place and premises, that case was included. So using these three selection criteria, if you just used the expected primary payer source of workers' compensation there in the middle, like what is usually available in inpatient hospitalization data when you're looking at it on an overall general basis, you can see for this it only identified 62% of the work-related injuries. If you use the work-related indicator alone, that identified 91% of the injuries cases, and the use of just the E-code algorithm alone identified only 25% of the cases. But if you combine them together, for instance, if you combine the work-related indicator and the expected primary payer of workers' compensation, using those two, we identified an additional 112 cases besides the work-related indicator. If we use the work-related indicator, expected payer source, and then added the E-code algorithm, that added an additional 45 cases. So looking at the demographic characteristics, as you can see here, most of the cases were within working age between 25 to 54 years old. About 11% of the traumatic injuries occurred in workers who were 15 to 24. Looking at gender, almost all were male, almost all were white. Looking at ethnicity, you can see here, I'm not sure on my, but anyway, if you look at the percentage of missing cases, that did indicate to us that there might be some more additional training needed of trauma center coordinators in completing this variable, since there were 23% missing that variable for being populated. But anyway, with what is available, about 7% of the cases were among Hispanic workers. When we looked at the industry, if you start down at the bottom, looking at the percentage of cases that were missing in identified industry, luckily only 4% were missing. But on the other hand, 25% of them, the industry was not known. Could be due to the severity of the injury for that worker, that they just weren't able to get that information. But for that 70 to 75% where they could get that information, most of the worker injuries occurred in the other services industry, followed by construction, manufacturing, ag, forestry, and fishing, and then transportation. Looking at occupation, again, if you start down at the bottom, you can see that 21% of the cases were missing and identified occupation, and 65% of them were listed as not known. So in my mind, this really indicates the need for additional training of trauma center coordinators in completing this variable within our trauma registry. But again, of what was available, highest percentage was in production, construction, and transportation and materials moving industries. Looking at the cause of injury, about a third of the cases were due to falls, 16% due to machinery, 13% were struck by or against, and 12% due to motor vehicle collision injuries. When we go down to intent, almost all of them were unintentional. And when we looked at where they occurred, about two-thirds of them happened at the industrial site. 12% was listed as occurring on the street, which actually correlated nice with the percentage due to motor vehicle traffic injuries, which was also 12%. And then you can look at the other ones there. We then looked at lifestyle characteristics. You can see here that about half of the population was tested for alcohol use. And the good news is that only around 1% had alcohol either confirmed by a test for trace levels of alcohol, and only 1% had the presence of alcohol beyond the legal limit. Regarding drug use, we found that a little over half, about 60%, were tested for drug use, and surprisingly, about 14% of them were confirmed for prescription drug use. When I say prescription drug use, what they do is they usually run a drug screen in the emergency department if drug use is suspected. So it will track a lot of those prescription drugs, such as opiates, benzodiazepines, etc. About 5% actually had them recorded as illegal use of a prescription drug. And 14% were listed as not known, not recorded. According to National Trauma Database Standards, that field is populated as such when drug use is suspected but not tested for. Looking at comorbid conditions among the injured workers, almost one-third of them were current smokers. About 10% had alcoholism listed as a comorbid condition. 7% had diabetes. 4% had respiratory disease. 4% had obesity listed as a comorbid condition. But interestingly, no cases listed drug abuse or dependence listed as a comorbid condition. Then we looked at the diagnosis. You can see here about half the cases, half of the workers had suffered fractures, about 20% internal organ injuries, 10% burns, and then looking down at the injured body parts, about 20% each suffered injuries to either the lower or upper extremities, and about 16% had suffered traumatic brain injury. Looking at the last category, looking at hospital discharge, where they went upon being discharged from the hospital, about two-thirds of the workers actually went home with no home services. 8% required further rehabilitation or long-term care facilities. And about 5% actually went home under the care of an organized home health service. 31 of our cases actually died in the trauma unit. So in conclusion, trauma registry data may provide a more comprehensive estimate of the incidence of and risk factors associated with traumatic occupational injuries compared to the use of inpatient hospitalization data alone. Like I said before, you have that added value of having a work-related indicator and having industry and occupation listed as well. Second, routine drug screens should be performed on trauma activation patients. Like I said, we found about 19% of our cases had listed drug use, and that would include four injured workers. Third, drug-free workplace programs should be established and implemented, focusing on prescription drug abuse, and that would include increased testing for increased random drug testing among the injured or among workers, expanded drug testing, so that would be using an expanded drug screen panel, the use of employee assistance programs, and targeted treatment program referrals for substance abuse. And last, workplace wellness programs should be implemented in the workplace. So. All right.
Thank you. Let's stay up for a second. We have time for probably about one question, and I'm going to ask our presenters if they will repeat the question into the mic because it's being recorded.
Okay. In the back.
Yes.
You said you had data from level one to level four trauma centers. Did you examine the data by trauma center, by level of trauma center or type of hospital that they were at?
No, we did not, but we could do that, yes. We have three level one trauma centers in the state and a few scattered, two or three, so it's mainly one and four. Actually, a lot of them are level four trauma centers.
You have time for one more question, but repeat it.
Yes.
I was a little surprised, although with this trauma registry, that you found no cases from the healthcare sector. Did that surprise you?
Yes, it did, actually. I don't know, but that's what our DOTA is. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
thank you. As somebody who's done research in Kentucky and went into underground coal mines, as I went out and the beer cans were coming out on the conveyor belt, I was glad to see lack of alcohol in your data. So.